Grainmaker.
Welcome, everyone, to the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, a Prairie Proud Wrestling Podcast covering everything from Winnipeg to worldwide. My name is Blair Pacheco. I hope you are having a fantastic day. By the time you're listening to this, we are already into March, so like spring is knocking on our doors, and I cannot wait for that. I need shorts, I need t-shirts, I need the sunshine, I need all of that. I'm done with the snow. But this is not the weather report. You got to tune into CKY for that. This is the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, and I am so stoked for this week's episode. Now, making his return to the podcast, well, I should say, first off, he's making his WPW debut coming up, his return to the podcast this week. Joining me on the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast yet again is none other than Sebastian Wolf. Sebastian, how are things going?
Hey, man. Great. Oh yeah, they're going great. No complaints on my end.
That's all you can ask for. Now, you were joining me. We were kind of figuring out when you were last on the podcast, and it was over 2 years ago. So yeah, we have a lot to talk about since then. But first and foremost, I want to talk about you making your WPW debut at Winnipeg Street Fighter, because this is a huge opportunity being a part of the Voyageur Cup.
Yeah, no, it's a long time coming. I've been trying to make things work out to get out to Winnipeg and WPW for a while now. So really stoked to finally get out there next week.
I was thinking, I was like, okay, well, this is going to be your Winnipeg debut. And then I had to remember, I was like, hold on a minute. His Winnipeg debut was AEW. And I'm like, that is kind of nuts when you actually think about it, but there's going to be people who may not have seen you on AEW. So what can they expect when they're at the West End Cultural Center, March 8th and 9th?
That's same thing as always, man. Another level of intensity and man, some hard hitting ass kicking.
Mm-hmm. I was talking with the WPW brass just about what it takes to put together a tournament, and it is difficult because I know that you have bookings following that, but like if you win on the 8th, it's going to be double duty for Sebastian Wolf, and it's like, holy crap, like this is a huge opportunity for yourself. And the fans are going to be in for a treat, because I've talked about it before, like you're hard hitting, you're action packed, you're fast paced, and all of this combined, you are the epitome of a five tool player. So like, when it comes to a tournament, like how do you prepare mentally? Because I know you are still crushing it in the gym.
Yeah. I'm in the gym mentally, just, doing my homework on who's in the tournament and I try not to think about it, to be honest. I just, stay calm, don't get overwhelmed. I've been in some deep waters recently. And every time I've gotten to them, I feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like it's, I don't feel like I'm drowning or my head's barely above water. Like I'm starting to really find my stride.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not too worried about it, to be honest.
Well, I had said before, 2 years ago you were on the podcast. We have a lot to unpack since then, because last time you were on, State of Emergency was one of the top tag teams in Canada. And here you are now as one of the top singles wrestlers in Canada. So, let's rewind. Dude, you have crushed the past couple of years. In your mind, how have you felt about it?
Amazing, man. Some days it does feel a bit overwhelming, and some days it just feels right. Like I've always taken this business very seriously, very passionate about it. I laid out a game plan. Like I didn't fall into tag team wrestling. That was a strategic start to my career that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It ended a little sooner than I would have liked, but you can't control everything. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, man, it's been a whirlwind.
I mean, I've been watching from a few provinces over, but like, you really have taken control of what, like, the Pacific Northwest as a whole, because I mean, it seems that every promotion in BC or down in Seattle, Portland, they are booking you on their shows. Like, everyone, Defy, you have every promotion in BC wanting to get a piece of you. I mean, that's got to feel nice when you look back at what you've gone through the past few years.
Yeah, it feels great. I'm very humbled by it. It's just, yeah, when I do look at the landscape here, I'm pretty much wrestle in every promotion in the PNW, mm-hmm. except for maybe, you know, two of them. But you know, all the major players out here, I'm on their roster consistently. Recently I've been given multiple main event opportunities and multiple promotions here in Vancouver. So it's very humbling, very rewarding. But like I said, man, I've always felt like I belong at the top. Like, it's just not an ego thing. It's just how I feel. And, you know, you got to have a bit of an ego to kind of make it in this business, I think. But just always got to check yourself. And yeah, man, it's been awesome.
Let's rewind and look at some of the names you've taken on in the past couple of years. I mean, Jonathan Gresham, Austin Aries, Speedball Mike Bailey. You went toe to toe with all of them. I mean, it seems like All-Star Wrestling, they're bringing in these names and you're knocking them out of the park on a monthly basis when it comes to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been so cool. Some of these guys, I never thought I would be in the ring with them that soon into my singles career. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, just last September was, you know, the blow-off match against Miles. And, you know, even last year we were crushing it in tag teams. Like, we faced, you know, Second Gear Crew, Dark Order, you know, the Bollywood Boys. There's, you know, we ran through a bunch of top tag names, and now to be doing it on my own against, you know, top singles guys is just so damn cool. And I mean, All-Star has been really great. They've lined up a ton of great opponents, and you know, next week they got Matt Cardona coming. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, let's talk about that, because I mean, that is a huge opportunity for yourself. You have, I mean, the guy who's basically calling himself the king of the indies knocking on your door. And I mean, this is a huge opportunity for yourself. And I mean, the fans out in BC are in for a treat regardless of this.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's hard to argue. He's been the PWI independent wrestler for back-to-back years, I believe.
I think so.
He's, you know, in every top independent promotion you can name. And this is his first time in Vancouver. And, mm-hmm. you know, he draws me. So that's a tough one for him too. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of crazy, because as much of a fan of, you know, Mike Bailey and Austin Aries and Gresham I've been, I've only started being a fan of those guys in the last couple of years as I break out into independent wrestling. Whereas Matt Cardona, I've been following and been a fan of that guy since 2011. Mm-hmm. And it's the first real guy that I think I'm getting into the ring with where, you know, I got to kind of, you know, shake my head and slap myself and be like, all right, you're not a fan, man. You gotta rise to this guy's level, and you're toe-to-toe in the ring with him.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge opportunity for yourself and everything that can come out of this. I mean, do you feel any added pressure when you're stepping in the ring with Matt?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I always, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. I have high expectations of myself every time I go out there. But again, there's this like odd calm that I feel. You know, it's 8 days away, and I don't feel nervous right now. I don't feel pressure. I'm sure when it, you know, the day comes, I'll feel both. But right now, I'm just enjoying the build up to it. And I know it's a huge opportunity, and I hope it, you know, I hope something does come of it.
You had mentioned that the blow off with state of emergency was like just this past fall or last fall, sorry. And to me, it almost like makes me like sit back and think like, holy shit, because like to me it seems like it's been so long that like your singles run has just been going on forever, but it hasn't. And to think you've been able to do this in such a short period of time, like that is a huge, huge props to you for what you've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, thank you. I wish I could say I was super confident, you know, when we ended, how things were gonna go, and you know, but to be honest, when we split, we had our feud, and the dust settled. I really wasn't too sure what was gonna happen, because I knew we built that stock as a tag team, and no one really saw a lot of me as a singles guy. So I was a bit, you know, my schedule took a bit of a dive. That first, you know, maybe month or two, it got a lot lighter than it was when we were, you know, running with SOE. So I was a little, you know, down in the dumps, but I never stopped believing. Like I said, I feel like I check all the boxes you can possibly check when it comes to being a professional wrestler. So I knew I just needed to find my footing again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think NEW, you know, they've been a blessing to me this, you know, entire time they've been around, but, they were the first ones, you know, they brought in Jonathan Grisham and, you know, gave me a singles match against him. And, yeah, man, that, you know, going toe to toe with him, and the feedback he gave me after just, you know, kind of put that confidence back in me. And, you know, I knew I was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, like for them to put you in that position, I mean, obviously it's confidence from the promotion, knowing that you can rise to that occasion. Then afterwards you have the match and being able to get that positive feedback from Gresham and even things you can take away. I mean, that's the kind of things that really allow you to grow and build off of that to make sure that that confidence keeps rising, you know, so you can go to that next level.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, a funny story that, you know, not many people know unless you were there, you know, that night. But during like warming up pre-show, before the doors opened and everything, Gresham was actually in the ring, and a couple people actually, they were going over some stuff. They took a spill and they actually crashed right into him, took out his knee. He actually hit the ground, and you know, he was in pure agony. It was bad. You could have heard a pin drop in the venue. Everybody cleared out, and for a good, you know, half an hour there, that match wasn't going to happen that night. And Gresham is a total professional and a savage and a world-class athlete. And he, you know, he took some painkillers and put some ice on it and, you know, massaged it out. And he wrapped that leg up and he trusted me to go out there and take care of him. The match we had, you know, planned out in our minds was completely thrown out the window because he didn't know what he could do until he got in the ring. So a lot of that was kind of just, you know, worked out in the ring as he talked to me and we went through it. So yeah, to be able to go out there and keep him safe, and then the feedback afterwards from him, it was, yeah, a total confidence booster that I'm super grateful for. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that match with Speedball, because I mean, the past year, I mean, you could make a strong argument that he could have been a wrestler of the year just with the matches he was having, where he was going. I mean, it was a constant banger after banger. And then, you know, the Friday night, he's in Love Wrestling facing Michael Richard Blaze. Next night, he gets Sebastian Wolf at All-Star Wrestling. I watched the match, and it was a lot of fun to watch that. Some of the spots were very creative and stuff that, like, I hadn't seen before. You know, I encourage everyone to go check it out, but, like, I'll say one spot that I loved. It was when he was going for a handspring off the ropes, and you caught him with a spear right there. You don't see that shit all the time, and that's what I love seeing in a match, like the creativity. What was it like for you getting the opportunity working with Speedball?
That was kind of mind-blowing, because like you said, he was just surging all year long, and you know, his stock, I feel like it couldn't have been higher. Mm-hmm. So when All-Star and like All-Star, if you know All-Star Wrestling, they're more like old school kind of, you know, they're not known to bring in like, you know, the top kind of like super indie kind of style guy. And
it was a surprise hearing they were going to bring him in when I saw
Yeah. I think a lot of people were, including myself. And yeah, when they said, yeah, they lined up this gauntlet, they wanted three names that they were going to, you know, bring over of the course of a few months for me. And he was the first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, very cool to get the match, obviously. Like, when was that? That was September.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that was, you know, I was like 3 months into my singles run. At the start of September, me and Miles just had our blow-off match. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, I was fresh into a singles career. And to, for him to come in, and I felt like that was my match of the year for 2023. I mean, mm-hmm. It's hard not to when you're wrestling him, and he's just absolutely amazing. His mind and the way he thinks about things in there. And it's just, again, another huge confidence boost. And yeah, I'm just very fortunate to have gotten that.
I made it out to Edmonton. I saw the match with MRB and Speedball. Beforehand, he was doing a seminar, and you mentioned like his mind for wrestling, and just hearing him break stuff down to the people taking part of the seminar, like from someone who's, I'm not trained in wrestling. I'm just watching from the outside, but even to watch from where I was at, like, you're picking up things that like I never would have thought of, and it makes a whole lot of sense when you start thinking of it. So I think it's just a testament to really his mind when it comes to wrestling. Was he able to give you some positive feedback coming out of that match?
Oh yeah, for sure. And when we were, you know, putting the match together, just he'd just go like silent, and you could see his eyes moving, and you could just see a million thoughts going through his head. And then he comes at you, and like, you know, half the match is put together, and then, you know, it just it was so like seamless. Mm-hmm. And then he had some good feedback for me, and it was again just so damn cool.
So we talked, you made your Winnipeg debut being a part of AEW Dark. The past year, I mean, you got a couple opportunities doing that. It seems you will forever be tied to Matt Hardy. I don't know how that works out, but for yourself, I mean, the one in Winnipeg where I was able to see you at, I mean, it was a trios match, and a trio that I never thought I'd see together with you, Massive Damage, and Mo Jabari. But the experiences for those darks and even the ROH, what were you able to take away from that? Because it's something that I was very fond of when you'd see them run through Canada, is you're seeing a lot of the independent wrestlers here getting those opportunities. So now that it's gone, you don't get it as much, but how is it for you?
It was great. I did Dark twice and then Ring of Honor once. All three times were great. I mean, super stressful. but you know, and all three matches very quick, and you know, they were 2 6-mans and then a tag, so you don't get to do a whole lot, but definitely picked up some stuff when it comes to wrestling on TV, you know, where to position yourself and just stuff like that, that, you know, doesn't always relate to the independent scene. But, you know, once you start getting to those positions, it's really, really good to know.
Mm-hmm. That is something that I think kind of gets lost with making the progression from doing like regular indies where they may be filmed, but pardon me, when you're, you know, being a part of Dark or being a part of ROH, there's the cues you have to follow. So it definitely is a learning experience beyond just in ring with more things you might not always think of.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, you know, each and every time I got a, you know, maybe one or two pieces of good feedback, or just, you know, something I could have done better, or just something I wasn't aware of. And but yeah, like last time for Ring of Honor, you know, to come back and get a little like piece of advice from Billy Gunn, like that kind of stuff, man, is just so cool when you've been a fan your whole life and you know, grew up watching guys like that. And you know, like you mentioned before, getting, you know, a little bit of feedback from Matt Hardy after our matches, like just mind-blowing.
And that stuff, I mean, nobody's expecting them to go to you afterwards and be like, hey, you know, good job of this or work of this, because like to them they could just easily walk off. But I think it goes a long way being able to get that from them, just so you can continue to grow and better yourself.
Yeah, no, definitely. They don't owe you a damn thing. You're just, you know, you're out there to make their guys look good. And, you know, they're more concerned about, you know, giving feedback and critiques to their roster guys. So to just even take a, you know, 20, 30 seconds to give you a little tidbit is just really cool and super invaluable.
I wanted to ask, because I saw a post on Instagram, because I mean, I know you're crushing it at the gym, and it seems like the past, you know, since you've become, you know, a singles wrestler, like since I was watching that speedball match, like your fitness has just been dialed in, like just to the level of like, you know, next level, almost like really crushing it. Was there anything that sort of like clicked for you or inspired you to go a little harder, or is it just like the natural progression?
Well, to be honest, it's probably that I'm a singles guy now, so I can't tag Miles in case I'm feeling tired. So yeah, man, I've definitely stepped my cardio up, over this past year, just throwing in a little bit pretty much each day instead of, you know, a couple times a week. Yeah, that's about it. Just step my cardio up. And, you know, this year, for the past couple months, I've actually just kind of been more dialed in with overall training and trying to get to that next level even more, put on a little more size and, you know, and train more like an athlete, try to, you know, develop some more explosiveness. And just have, you know, I'm going in there with guys like, you know, Speedball and Jonathan Grisham. I can't be dragging my feet. For, you know, those are those deep waters where I don't want to drown in. So
It seems between like you and Rich King, I'm able to like piece enough from workouts to like help benefit mine. So I'll, like anytime you post something, I was like, interesting, I should try that out.
Rich is good, man.
It's like I go regularly, but like I'm also 42 years old, so like, hey, I do what I can. I'm not as spry as I used to be, but I still like going. I still like lifting heavy things. So it's
Of course, man. Yeah, definitely. And you know, you it's a lifestyle, and you just keep it up, and consistency is key, man.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be here WPW, but in April, is this going to be your Ontario debut for Smash?
Yes. Yeah. First time in Ontario.
That is huge, because I mean, Smash is pretty much one of the top promotions out there right now. I know they've got a double shot WrestleMania weekend that you're a part of.
Yeah. I'm super pumped about that, man. I've been knocking on, you know, multiple promotions doors out in Ontario, and it's, you know, just not working out, or, you know, it's just not in the budget. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you're, you know, on the West Coast and trying to get over kind of more to the East. And, but yeah, luckily things worked out. WrestleMania weekend, I got my Ontario debut. I believe they just announced the matches too the other day.
Yeah, the first night one, I think, is a triple threat between you, Matt Cross, and Johnny DeLuca, and then night two against Brent Banks.
Yeah, they when they hit me up, they told me I'd have good matches, but yeah, I wasn't expecting that level of good. I know there's a lot of good talent out in Ontario, but man, Matt Cross, that's a there's another one, you know. Yeah, those are some more deep waters.
That's an indie legend right there. Like,
yeah, I was actually kind of blown away when I seen that just triple threat get announced. Mm-hmm. But super stoked.
Are you making your way down for WrestleMania weekend again, or are you just going to stay in Ontario?
I'm just going to stay in Ontario. I did have plans, but man, it's expensive to get all the way over there. And yeah, I went last year down to Cali, and it was good. You know, I got a couple of bookings at some smaller shows, but you know, nothing that really panned out or, you know, led to bigger opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to invest that kind of money going to Philly. I reached out to a couple promotions and didn't hear anything back. So it was high risk with very low reward. Mm-hmm. And like I said at the start, I've always treated this like a business first. So, you know, it just wouldn't be a smart business decision.
No, I was going to ask, because you had mentioned like last year, it kind of not working out, you know, like you guys got in a couple matches down there, and I think I saw clips. One was like outside, which was like a great visual, seeing the clips from that. It doesn't, you know, nothing comes from that. And then even reaching out to some of the promotions and, you know, not getting anything with Ontario for quite a while. Does it get discouraging that things don't always fall your way, or do you just kind of take it par for the course that like there are going to be these growing pains?
Yeah, I mean, it does. It can be discouraging, but yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Not every door is going to open up for you when you first knock on it. And, mm-hmm. You know, all that really does for me is, you know, kind of put a bigger chip on my shoulder. And it kind of motivates me, because it's like, all right, well, you're ignoring me now, but there's going to come a time where you come knocking, and, you know, then that'll feel good. But it's just part of the game, man. Mm-hmm. You gotta earn your way. And, you know, I know as much as I've been doing and have done, there's still independent wrestling's a small world, but it's, you know, there's a lot of good talent out there. Mm-hmm. And you got to stand out and separate yourself from everyone else. And I'm, you know, still kind of figuring out how to do that. So kind of is what it is.
Yeah. It's something that it's not going to fall into peace right away, But when the pieces to the puzzle do start fitting, then it becomes a whole lot clearer. And it really seems like that's the path you're on right now, where those pieces are starting to fit in and the bigger picture's all coming out.
Yeah, no, I'm every time I go to shows, I got, you know, my peers, you know, congratulating me on this and that, and just telling me on how much of a role I'm on. And it's does feel like the rocket ship is just continually going up and up, and I'm not jumping off anytime soon. And, I'm very, very smart with what I do out there in the ring. And, like we talked about, I am very into fitness and health, and I try my best to do proper recovery things, and I know my body pretty well. Mm-hmm. So I feel great physically, and as long as I'm on the tracks I'm on right now, man, there's no slowing me down.
Ontario debut is around the corner, and Quebec debut is shortly thereafter, as you are a part of this year's version of the Lutte Academy. And I was looking at the roster, the lineup for this one, and it is very much a mixed bag of young stars, current middle of the pack, wrestlers, and then even a few older veterans as well. It's a huge opportunity with the cash prize and the opportunity to train at Big Lucha, I think, down in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken.
Bandito's gym, yeah.
Yeah.
And then so, for Big Lucha.
First off, what are you going to do with the $10,000 after you win? And it's going to be that's a big opportunity for you.
Yeah. No, it's just kind of came out of nowhere. I did kind of plan on throwing my name in the hat. Mm-hmm. Before I even did, I got a FaceTime call from Jacques, and we were Facebook friends for the past year. Mm-hmm. I don't know who added who. I honestly can't remember, but man, it was a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. This guy's FaceTiming. We've never exchanged a message before. And I'm like, is this happening right now? So I hit the green button, and his face pops up, and he, Jacques Rougeau, former Intercontinental champion, he goes, puts himself over, and as you should, mm-hmm. But he's just sitting there on a Tuesday morning, man, and he's like, I'm watching your match with Jonathan Grisham. And I'm just he's blown away. I'm like, who even tipped you off? Who even sent you that match? And he was, he told me that I should sign up, and the rest was history. Next thing I know, I was one of the ones picked, and I'm pretty pumped. That's my Montreal debut. And I think I have a good shot. There's, mm-hmm. I know there's some good competition out there, but I don't know, man. I don't know what the judging criteria is, but I look at everyone out there, and I don't think anyone's on the role that I'm on right now.
And I mean, the role you're on is almost next level. And what I like about this is you're getting the chance to be out there in another new province, but then there's going to be eyes from other promotions that are out there being able to see what you can do live and in person. So there's no reason that, to miss out on Sebastian Wolf. I mean, you're going to be there. You'll be able to show exactly what you can do. And I always pump the tires of, Western Canada, the prairies included, but out east in Quebec, I mean, they've got some great promotions, great talent out there. And I would love for you to get the opportunity more Eastern stuff too, just to see some of those matchups.
Yeah, man. It's like I said, for, us West Coast guys, it's pretty hard to break out over there. They got such a deep talent pool as it is. So, to justify the plane tickets and the hotels and stuff. You really got to stand out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily these, you know, this Montreal thing is, you know, all the expenses are paid. I just got to show up and do my thing. And, you know, that's what I plan to do. And there's two winners for male and female. So, you know, there's $40,000 to go around. And, you know, I definitely plan on taking one of those 10K.
Mm-hmm. Even the training opportunity down at Bandito's gym. I mean, I'm not sure if you've done the excursion to train down there yet, but once again, another huge opportunity if you get that.
Yeah, no, I haven't. It was Miles did back in 2021. Yeah, he went down there for like a month and a half, 2 months. And man, when he came back, he was at like another level. He kind of reached a different level, and you know, everybody took notice of it. He's, you know, it was kind of perfect because, you know, he came back and me and him hit the ground running, and you know, he benefited hugely from it. You know, Eli Surge, Liza Hall, yeah, they all were down there together, and yeah, they all came back on another level. So to get that opportunity, it's exciting. I can't wait because I know I'm gonna win.
I want to ask about something. There was a tweet not too long ago you sent out about you know, you're seeing more promotions, you know, all women's promotions run by women. And you thought you had mentioned that you would like to see more promotions ran by people of color. And I think that that is an incredible idea. I think that there should be more women running promotions, more people of color running promotions, people of, you know, you should have more, you know, queer people running promotions too, because why not? I mean, everyone has, you know, the same intentions, you know, trying to elevate everyone else. Have you ever given thought of doing more behind the scenes stuff at all, possibly ever doing something like that? Or is your mind solely focused on just in ring and wrestling currently?
No, I definitely do have my mind on that. I'm hoping this summer I can actually run a show out in Saskatchewan back. So this past September, I kind of partnered up with RCW and we took a show out to Fort Qu'Appelle, Saskatchewan, which is about 20 minutes away from my reserve out on Pasqua. And, it was good. There was a good turnout. But what I took from it was that it needed to be planned out further in advance and just a little more kind of promotion of it. So I think I'm going to kind of take the wheel myself this year, and reach out to some sponsors out there and, mm-hmm, you know, some local workers that are out there and try to find a ring. And yeah, man, that's one of my big goals is to kind of, I mean, my big goal is to have like an all First Nations kind of showcase. Mm-hmm. I don't know how great that'll go over. But I like to think it would, you know, like, GCW has their For the Culture, yep, show that they do, and you know, why can't there be one for Native people?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So yeah, that's something I definitely have my mind on. And you know, when the wheels do fall off on this body eventually, you know, I don't ever want to leave the wrestling business. So, mm-hmm, you know, I definitely want to kind of figure out the logistics of how to run shows and whatnot. That's something I think I could definitely wet my feet with.
Remind me after we finish recording and I'll I'll pass something along your way. I don't want to mention it while we record, but I think I might be able to help out in a couple things with that. But a couple more things for you, then I'm going to let you go enjoy your Thursday evening. Now, I mean, I noticed on your Twitter, sorry to keep going back to it, but like I'm trying to, you know,
it's an active account, man. Yeah. I'm always talking shit.
Okay, so two things with Twitter. The other day, you Fergie and Sharif going off on each other had me howling while I'm watching Dynamite.
Perfect.
I was loving the interactions in the back and forth, and I'm sitting there. I was like, this is good. I like this.
Yeah.
Okay. I noticed on your bio, you have collector of things. What is Sebastian Wolf currently collecting?
Over the past few months, thanks to Evan Rivers, I've recently started collecting Pokemon cards again. Oh. So yeah, I'm collecting those, but I'm always collecting wrestling figures.
Yeah.
That's my jam. Yeah. I got, currently, right now, I did have a spare bedroom totally full of wrestling figures and all sorts of memorabilia, but my brother's living with us right now, and so he has my spare room, and all my stuff's packed up in boxes, I keep, despite not having the room to display them, I keep buying them, and they're just... kind of overflowing in my bedroom now. I'm sure my girlfriend loves it, but yeah, man, I've been a big wrestling figure collector for years, and I went through the Funko Pop phase.
Yeah,
that kind of fizzled out. Yeah, I still grab the odd one here and there if it's really cool or something, but between the cards, the figures, you know, it burns a hole in your wallet.
Dude, I feel that because I got back into buying like sports cards and just like stuff I used to have. And it's like, hey, there's the Michael Jordan baseball card. It's like, yeah, I want that. You know, I've never had one before. Yeah, I want a Shaq rookie. So I'm getting like all these bubble mailers from buying stuff on eBay. But it's fun. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think there's like this, I don't know, I heard since like COVID or like whatever that collecting things is just like skyrocketed, and like people like, you know, in their like late 20s, early 30s, early 40s, like throughout our age, like I feel like we're the ones driving like the sales on all this stuff now, because like a lot of it's stuff that we, you know, couldn't afford as kids or parents couldn't afford, and now that we have our own money, we're just like buying up our childhood. Because it's wild, man. You go into a toy aisle at like Walmart or whatever, Toys R Us, it's all like, you know, they got Beast Wars, Transformers, they got the Ninja Turtles, they got, you know, like everything that we had as kids, and like none of that stuff's on TV.
No.
So it's just, it's like almost marketed for adults now.
Like whenever I go to Walmart, I will always do a stroll through the toy aisle just because it's like, I want to see what figures are there. Like maybe a wrestling figure will catch my eye, but then you see like the original Ninja Turtles and it's like, dude, I used to have so many of these. Like you almost wish you still had them just to like, for the nostalgia's sake, but like, I can't justify buying one now. I buy too much of
them. Yeah. And that's where it goes bad, man. You buy one and then you got 100 a month later. So. But yeah, you're totally right. They literally are just like re-releasing what they put out back in like the, you know, the late 80s, early mid 90s, like the exact same toys.
With the wrestling figures, do you have any that are like your prized possessions that like they will never pry them from your hands?
It's hard. It's yeah, but then I don't know, they like remake the ones that were like my pride and joy, but now they like make them with better like technology and better accessories. So like you almost like want to upgrade to the newer one, but then the older one is worth more. So like I got this Defining Moments Bret Hart and it's from his like the 1997 Hart Foundation run. So it has, you know, his black attire, the jacket, the Canadian flag. Like that's always been the one. Now they're putting out the same damn figure, but he's all upgraded and just looks way better. So I'm probably gonna end up buying that one, and then, you know, why do I need this older, you know, crappier one?
Okay, in the same vein, what's the last figure you picked up, or figures if you bought multiple?
Okay, the last figures I picked up, which were they? I think it was the Usos. So I don't know if you've heard that they do these things called the Ultimate Edition figures now, and they have like three heads and like four sets of hands and, you know, their entrance gear. So it's like totally, it's like a premium figure, more for adults. Yeah. So there's this like exclusive two pack that you could only get online of the Usos and their like bloodline gear.
Nice.
So yeah. Oh, door. Sorry, that was my dog.
That's okay.
That two pack. I'm a big fan of the Bloodline. They've been very entertaining over the last few years, so I needed some up to date Usos.
Okay, I'll transition this to some wrestling talk, but being a fan of the Bloodline, is this the year Cody finishes his story, or is the Bloodline going to reign supreme?
Man, I think it probably is the year, but a part of me, I don't want him to do it at Mania. I know that's you know, it's probably going to piss some people off, but Roman's had it for so long now, and I think come September, if he has it, he beats Hogan's run, I heard. So I think, you know, they got to do that, man. Like,
yeah,
they can't bring it this far. And, you know, for him not to, because, he's been on a tear, and it just feels like that's kind of what they were trying to push for. But now it seems like, you know, the Cody fans might get their way, but I don't really know.
I'd be okay with knocking Hogan's name out of those books. You know, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, no, me too, personally. And, you know, Cody can, you know, win it at the end of the year, maybe Survivor Series or some shit. But story doesn't, you know, the end of the story, it was never supposed to be, I have to do it at WrestleMania. He just has to win the title.
Yeah.
So
that's
logistics.
I'd be good with that. Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Are you going to check out the Sting finale this weekend?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've not been the biggest fan of Sting like throughout the years, but you know, he's had his moments. I mean, obviously WCW, like during the NWO era, like that was my favorite.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely gonna check it out. I got the weekend off, so that's nice for once.
Nice.
So we'll definitely be checking it out.
I mean, as Canadians, I think we're always more partial to like WWE, WWF. So like WCW and Sting always kind of came like second fiddle, because I mean, we never saw it live. It was always Tuesdays at like 3:30 on TSN. So you'd catch the last
hour
and that's it.
Yeah, no, I remember that, man. Like Tuesdays and like we're out in Saskatchewan. I remember it being like coming on late at night on like Tuesdays, and I had to like stay up and, you know, sneak out of my bedroom and shit to watch it. But I did love WCW. I loved them both, but definitely I was a WWF guy through and through.
Okay. Now, I mean, I always ask for a match recommendation, and I'm sure I got one from you the first go around, but I'm going to hit you up with a second one. So one that you're a fan of, WWF, WCW, anything that you think the listener should go check out?
Yeah, I mean, any Bret or Owen match, any Bret and Razor match.
Oh, man, the Rumble match from, I think it was 93 Rumble that they had, Bret and Razor, that was solid.
But no, it could be, 93. Yeah. Or Bret and Perfect.
Yeah.
Brett Perfect, Brett Razor, Brett Owen. Yeah.
Solid. Now, upcoming dates. You're going to be in Winnipeg for WPW. You got All-Star Wrestling. Where else can the people see you in the next little bit?
March 10th, the night after All-Star, I'll be at Peak Sports Entertainment down in Everett, Washington. March 22nd, I'm with Dusk Pro out here in Vancouver. March 30th, I'm out in Spokane, Washington with Relentless Wrestling. I got six in March. I'd have to check my calendar on my phone, but it's recording, so.
That's okay.
But well, yeah, those are the ones. Oh, yes. Boom, on March 22nd here in Vancouver again. That's my first one-on-one with Judas Icarus.
Dude, that is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that for a while. I know he's at the top of the food chain out here, and I want to find out why. I mean, I can see why, but I want to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Now, for any like more upcoming shows, any of that stuff, you always post on your social media. Where can they find you online?
On Twitter and Instagram, it is Seb Wolf Pro. You can find me on Facebook under Sebastian Wolf. Yeah, I'm pretty active on all of them. So,
dude, I'm stoked for your WPW debut. Stoked on what you've been able to do the past couple of years, and I appreciate you joining me again on the podcast.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's been cool. Great talking to you as always. And yeah, I guess I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much to Sebastian, and thank you for checking out the podcast. I say it every time. I will always say it. I truly appreciate you taking time out of your day. Listen to me talk about wrestling. If it's your first time listening, you can find me up on all social media, Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, all podcast streaming platforms. And you can find me every Saturday doing Four Exposure with my good friend Pluggo as we take a look at the world of independent wrestling. That's up on the Love Wrestling YouTube page. Thanks again for checking out the podcast. We'll talk soon.